Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, Miss Donna.
Happy Sunday and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. My name is Miss Donna and today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020 and we are broadcasting live from the lovely, beautiful city of Atlanta. I am so excited that you are joining us this evening and I want you to stay tuned. Well, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I want to make sure I answer that question for you since we know that it's a family show. We have listeners of all ages, and we want to make sure we practice good etiquette at the beginning of the show. So, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Who we have to thank for this is Charles I and II of England because they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And so I certainly want to send kudos out to Second. Well, once again, happy Sunday to you. Really excited to bring you this show. We're going to have a little diversion, I guess we could say, from what's going on in the world with the coronavirus and everything. So just going to kind of divert from that for a minute and give you all an opportunity to just kind of hang out with me and some of my family members. I don't know if you all had the opportunity to hear the show on last month, a few weeks ago, in fact, was our Black History show. And we actually had, we called it our engineering show. And so it was really exciting, very exciting show. And I'm excited, actually, to bring back my cousin, Kurt Chapman, who is the Black Engineer of the Year. And so he's going to return, and we're going to talk a little more to him. And I know he was wanting to give us some information, some Black history information, if you will, about engineers. But in addition, we have his son, who was unable to join us because of his schedule, Miles, he is going to be joining us as well, who's a chemical engineering student. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him in just a moment. But first, I want to say happy Sunday to Kurt and Miles. How are you?
Hello, Donna. Doing just great. And how
well,
are
happy
you doing
Sunday
today? Hello.
I'm doing well. And did I hear Miles as well?
Yes. Hello, Cousin Donna. Yep. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it is a pleasure. I am so glad that you can join us this time. And again, for the listeners who may be joining us for the first time, or if perhaps you did not have an opportunity to hear the prior show. So, Kurt, if you would, I'm going to kind of go to you first. If you would just take just a few moments to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, if you would do that. That would be great.
Sure. So I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went to Arsenal Technical High School and graduated there, and went on to Purdue University, where I majored in mechanical engineering and received a Bachelor of Science degree there. While I was in school, I had the opportunity to intern with an oil company called Amoco Production Oil Company. Their headquarters at that time was in Chicago. They have since been bought out by British Petroleum, BP. I also had the opportunity to intern with a company called Allison Transmissions. Allison Transmissions produces heavy-duty transmissions for commercial vehicles as well as military and military tanks. And then after leaving the Amoco production company, where I had the privilege of being a reservoir engineer as well as a facilities engineer and a production engineer, and even working in the offshore environment of Trinidad down in the West Indies, I went on to work for the Boeing company. And that's where I am currently, at Boeing. And so at Boeing, I have a myriad of responsibilities, which includes project management as well as a QD, quick disconnect, subject matter expert. And then also I do what we call active thermal control systems engineering for the International Space Station. And so I've been fortunate to be in these areas. I did want to slip in just a little clarification on the award that I received earlier this year. It was a Black Engineer of the Year award, but specifically it was a Modern Technology Day Leader Award, Modern Day Technology Leader Award. And so that was the one category that I received it in, but Black Engineer of the Year does award several awards in various categories, and so mine was the Modern Day Technology Leader Award.
Okay, so Modern Day Technology Leader Award. Wow. That is absolutely wonderful. Thank you for that. What I would like to do is introduce Miles. Miles Chapman is currently a chemical engineering student, Purdue University, in his sophomore year. He is a member of the National Society of Black Engineers, the American Institute of Chemical Engineers, serving as a faculty relations committee member. As a college freshman, he interviewed and received a co-op with Air Products and Chemicals. This year, he has added to his leadership responsibilities as the president of Adventist Christian Fellowship Purdue chapter. Miles enjoys playing piano and serving in music ministry. Wow, Miles. So how are you again? I'm so excited to have you.
Yes, thank you. I'm doing very well. Definitely, once again, glad to be here on the show. I definitely enjoy listening to your episodes and just some of the insightful dialogue that's generated here in terms of etiquette and just learning to better communicate and interact with each other in the world. It's very valuable, and unfortunately, I don't know that that everybody values or understands just the importance of etiquette. So I'm definitely glad to be here, and excited to see where you continue to go with what is etiquette anyway.
Well, wonderful, and it's just so wonderful to have you. We certainly did miss you on our last episode, but we knew that you were quite busy with your schedule. And I'm going to ask guys, or either one of you on the speakerphone, getting feedback. So I want to ensure that everyone can hear you as clearly as possible. So I think I'm picking up some background noise on one of the lines. And I can give you guys a chance to see if you can remedy that. I certainly don't want the audience to miss anything that you're going to say, because I know this is going to be a very valuable conversation in itself. Miles, let me ask you a question. This is your second year, right? Your second year at Purdue. And it sounds like Purdue sounds like a familiar school. I think your dad was also a graduate of Purdue. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Purdue is a very, very large and diverse school, with lots of amazing research that goes on there, as well as career opportunities. Our school of, I think, as of 2019, 44,000 students. The year that I entered, came in as a freshman, we actually had a record number of applicants, and I think a record number of students admitted as well. So it's a very large campus and a very rigorous education from what I can tell so far.
Yes. Yeah, so what type right now, what type of I guess, what type of classes are you in the midst of right now? And I know you guys are coming, you're coming to the close of the year coming soon, right? So if you go right here.
Sure, yeah, just a brief description of the classes. Currently, the first 2 years of, I guess, gaining my bachelor's degree, the classes consist of quite a bit of math, calculus, multivariate calculus, and then as well as science, physics classes, and chemistry classes. In my case, as a chemical engineer, I have to have a decent understanding of molecular structures and reactions and bonds and the way those chemical processes work. And then, of course, there are the chemical engineering major classes, which range from second-year calculations to separations and thermodynamics and senior design near the end, and also safety classes, just to name a few. So,
okay, so I'm sure that you are definitely focused. I know your dad spoke of the type of classes, I believe, Kurt, last when you were on the show last, and you were saying how intense the program is, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
He said Don, you said how, what the program is?
Mm-hmm. How intense, mm-hmm. how intense this particular
program
is. Oh,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Purdue is definitely a rigorous school, and although it is a state school, it has a reputation for being very distinguished, and many people think it's a private school. But they definitely believe in challenging their students, and the school the school's name carries itself so much so that when you travel different parts of the country looking for work in engineering, to get a Purdue grad is a bonus for companies, because they realize the rigor that the school puts into teaching their students and the technology and the research that is also present at the school.
And by the way, if you would like to send us an email, which some of you have begun doing already, seeing the post, you can certainly send it to MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. That's MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and read one. It says, "Etiquette Lady Miss Donna, my family and I have listened to your show for the past 6 years and really enjoy it. My son is interested in being an engineer, but not quite sure which kind. How old is Miles, and how did he know he wanted to major in chemical engineering? Thank you." This comes from Shelby in Atlanta.
All right. Yeah, well, definitely. Hi, Shelby. I'm definitely happy to hear of the interest in an engineering field. Certainly, it can be, I guess, a lot to think about and even potentially intimidating with, I guess, as of now, just the number of options in terms of majors as well as career choices and roles and responsibilities that engineers could potentially take on. I am currently 20 years old. I would say that I've had some desire to understand technical matters since childhood, and I guess being around my dad as well as uncles, seeing them work on cars, and just be able to understand and coherently speak about technical matters, whether it be the work that they did in their jobs or just around the house with electricity and circuitry or other things. Those sort of things help me to appreciate engineering and also to see myself as somebody that could potentially later on grasp and understand science and math. In terms of knowing that engineering is right for you or what you want to, you know, to do in college, I think a lot of that comes in high school. It might come from your interactions with people around you. The people that you are with definitely shapes and molds you in certain ways. And it's not just in terms of your social responses and your etiquette, but it's in your interests, in your career choices, and in the things that you decide to develop more in yourself. And so for me, that was, you know, better understanding of math. And chemistry certainly is something that I've always loved to do. I have to be honest, I didn't really understand fully what chemical engineering was until, you know, even now. I'm still learning and understanding more of just the diverse roles and responsibilities that chemical engineering entails. But I will say that one way of understanding or knowing if a degree is right for you is to look at a typical course load, look at the requisites for graduation, and you know, see if the calculus, see if the math and the science, and then the major related courses, if those are things that interest you. And you can look at the websites for all the different schools of engineering in whichever university you may choose to pursue, and just compare the courses and see what speaks to you potentially. Read the course descriptions, because that can tell you a lot about just what you'll spend many hours working towards as you study.
Okay, thank you. And I have another one that says, please ask Mr. Kurt and Miles, can you please talk about the STEM program and the importance of each area? I understand these areas are important. I am in the eighth grade currently, and this comes from Kim in Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you, Kim, for sending that in.
Sure, I'd be happy to speak on it. This is Kurt. So STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. These programs are very important. I should say the subjects are very important because most modern industrialized countries depend heavily on STEM careers and individuals who are very sharp and understand science, math, engineering, and technology. These careers and the foundation in the STEM itself lay the basis for a lot of the industry that we have around us. Just looking at the medical industry, without engineering, it's not possible to make tools. It's not possible to make gases, you know, for anesthesia. It's not possible to monitor vital signs of patients. It's not possible to do a lot of things the way we are accustomed to doing them today. And you look at, you know, accounting, computers have really shaped all of our lives The iPhone, everybody knows about that iPhone, and then the Samsung Android phones. Then there's the automobiles that we drive day to day to get to where we need to go. We live in homes, or we may, you know, live in apartments. We live somewhere, by God's grace. But these structures often are built with engineering. Somebody had to do the work to figure out if this building is safe enough and how it should be constructed and the materials that are needed to construct it. And even clothes. I find clothes to be fascinating in the last several years. Clothes have really changed. You know, I was surprised. I grew up in the time where when you bought blue jeans, you know, the blue jeans were hard fabric. They didn't tear so easily. But nonetheless, you know, you kind of got that one size, and if it didn't fit you, then you could, of course, go to the seamstress or tailor and try to get them taken up a little bit. But now these clothes, or the clothing we have, are made up of stretch fibers, and these stretch fibers are made from chemical polymers, and so they fit very nicely. They're very warm. They give you a nice look. So, you know, the list goes on and on. I just touched on a couple of industries, but I bet there's not one industry you could think of that did not have or does not have currently engineering in it. And I just want to say one thing, kind of going back to not only Tim, and the last caller you had as well, who lives in Atlanta, that there are pre-engineering programs around the country. I'm not sure where the current caller is calling from, but at least the last caller mentioned that he has some interest in engineering, and he's fortunate that he is in Atlanta. I was just perusing, and I know an individual who also lives in Atlanta who does a lot of work with engineering students. He himself is an engineer. He's actually a PhD candidate in engineering currently, but he does a lot of work with students in that part of the country. But there's also Georgia Tech. There's Georgia Tech, and I believe that they have a program that they put on for high school students. One is called SEI, Summer Engineering Institute, which is a three-week program which focuses on rising 11th and 12th graders in underrepresented minority communities. And so I just invite you to peruse the Georgia Tech website and see if you can match yourself with one of these programs and find out how to tap into it. I think it's a great way to get an introduction, and just as my introduction to engineering. And just as Miles said, you know, you really almost don't know exactly what these various disciplines within engineering do, but until you start taking classes, which may be sad on the one hand, but you can certainly get an introduction as well from a 10,000 foot level by attending these various high school engineering camps, because the individuals who put them on do a very nice job in trying to give the most diverse background with engineering as possible, and that helps. I think that helps guide your decision, because college is a big decision, and you know, when you graduate from high school, you sort of want to have an idea, you know, what you would like to do. It's not mandatory, of course, you know, the moment you graduate, but you kind of want to have an idea. And it's really helpful to tap into some of these programs if you have an interest to do it now, so that you can at least enhance your understanding of what engineers do. And one other beautiful thing about these programs is that they do give the students tours. So you may find yourself going to some technology company. It might be just a utility company. But it's fascinating. I was in a pre-engineering program as well as my son Miles, and we visited a water treatment sewage plant, and it was just fascinating to see the technology that went on at that plant. We went to other industries as well. But just fascinating, you know, just to see machines, to see people, you know, to see calculations, to see the science and the interaction, the collaboration to build products and services. It's really fascinating.
Wow, that is some great information. And so that sounds as though it gives them very, really, really good insight into the program. And, of course, Shelby was lives in Atlanta, and Kim is, she lives in Jacksonville, but let's see, and she's in the eighth grade, so this is a good time for her, right, to, you know, she's reaching out right now.
Absolutely.
Before she even starts high school, so that's great, and she's, you know, interested in this area. But, of course, we hear about the STEM programs all the time, so just a matter of, you know, her getting some full clarification on that, because you hear STEM, but, you know, oftentimes people don't know exactly what that entails. So, Kim, thank you for sending that. That's great, and thanks for reaching out. In case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are speaking with Chapman and his son, Miles Chapman as well, who is a student at Purdue University, and he's a chemical engineering student currently. And we're just, they're just basically talking about those fields. We just discussed a little bit about the STEM fields. Kurt just told us about the SEI, which is a 3-week summer course that, and of course, summer's coming up, and I think people are, you know, certainly looking at prepping for the summer right now. But we will be right back. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back in just a moment. And please don't go away.
Proper business etiquette is a powerful tool that will help you get a job, keep a job, or succeed in a job. Many people think they automatically have proper business etiquette, but often they do not. Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC, is ready, willing, and able to assist in this area. On-site training works. There are 5 benefits to bringing Pages Etiquette Seminars training to your company's door. 1, it's convenient. Simply let us know what time is best for your schedule. We can present our seminar right in your company's conference room. 2, it's personalized. And recognizing that each company is unique, we will first access your goals and then we will tailor our business etiquette workshop to fit the exact needs of your organization. 3, it's hands-on. Our seminars involve interactive and high-energy learning, not the put-you-to-sleep boring lectures. In fact, our trainers encourage participation. 4, it's a realistic training investment. The per-person tuition is significantly competitive and is based on either a 1 hour, a 1.5 day, or full day of training. You decide. And finally, 5, it's easy. We take care of everything, even down to the minor details. We want to make sure the training is exactly what you want it to be. After completing this workshop, participants will find that technical skills coupled with valuable people skills or good manners will make a tremendous difference both personally and professionally. For additional information or to book your workshop, contact www.pagesetiquette.com. www.pagesetiquette.com. Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on MissDonnaSpeaks.com. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' mind when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, BizDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Ms. Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com, www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Ms. Donna's voice.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back and we are family. I'm so excited to have joining me this evening Kurt Chapman as well as his son Miles Chapman. And we're having a wonderful conversation. We're talking about the career of engineering. And I know, Kurt, the last time we were on, when we were on a few weeks ago, this was for the Black History Month. And I know you wanted to share with the audience information and facts, Black history facts, I guess, if you will, about engineers in that particular field. And if you would like to still do that, that would be great, because we didn't have an opportunity. We had a really full panel on that day, and so we didn't have an opportunity.
Wait, Donna, I'd be glad to. I'd be glad to share a couple of facts. So engineering is very interesting, I have to say. There are just so many things that you can do as an engineer. You know, there are standard behind-the-desk jobs, behind-the-computer jobs, but there are also jobs that have you out in the field and have you monitoring various activities. I work for the space industry, and, you know, there are careers where individuals train the astronauts. The astronauts don't know everything that's required to live out in space or even to do spacewalks. But here in Houston, there is a facility called the Sonny Carter Training Facility, and it has a very, very large swimming pool that's the size of a football field in length and about 40 feet deep. And they take astronauts down there. Engineers are scuba divers. They dive with the astronauts. They hook them up to various gases, especially oxygen, while they're down in the cages working on a mock space station to prepare for various spacewalks. But as it relates to a little history, I think it's noteworthy to mention Mae Jemison. Mae Jemison was an astronaut, female African-American astronaut in our day that went to the International Space Station aboard the space shuttle. And she certainly is a model for all of us, because not only was she an engineer, but she is a physician. And so STEM careers not only include engineering, but they include science. And medicine is a part of science, too. And so a Black history fact is there's a gentleman that was born in 1856 by the name of Daniel Hale Williams. Daniel Hale Williams was born in Pennsylvania, but it was a time, of course, before slavery ended. And he had the opportunity to go to medical school. And this gentleman was very, very astute. And the challenges that existed in his day were not only one of mastering his career, that is, being very plant it and cement it in understanding medicine, but also the treatment of African Americans and how African Americans were able to survive in the time that he lived in. And so as the history records, around the year 1893, well, first, before I get to this specific incident, I'll just mention that he moved to Chicago, Illinois. And while he was in Chicago, he founded the very first non-segregated hospital called Provident Hospital. And while he was there, he also opened up a nursing school for women. It was the first African-American nursing school for women. And so he did a lot of things for the community and especially African-Americans. One noteworthy achievement of Dr. Williams is that he performed the very first open-heart surgery ever, And it wasn't recognized until about 1897 that this occurred, but actually the open-heart surgery took place in 1893. And he didn't have the benefit at this time of penicillin anesthetics, but what is interesting is that the individual who he performed the open heart surgery on, his name was James Cornish, and this gentleman had been stabbed, and because Dr. Williams monitored this patient and realized that he continued to cough and show symptoms of shock, he must have still been bleeding. And so when he went into his heart, he found that his pericardium had been breached. And the heart has three layers. The innermost layer is called the endocardium, and then there's a muscle layer called the myocardium, and then there's that outer layer of the pericardium. And so Dr. Williams discovered that his pericardium was breached, and he performed successful surgery on him, and this gentleman lived. And so it was quite amazing. And, you know, just using the skills that he had, using the technology available to him, he performed the very first feat in cardiology. And so I think that is extremely noteworthy for what is possible from science or to do in science, which is not just engineering, I should say STEM, which is not just engineering. So I just want to encourage, you know, your listeners, Ms. Donna, to, as they think about STEM, to not just box it into engineering, because science is a broad field all of its own as well.
Wow, that's a great, great history. I'm looking at an email that says, Ms. Donna, thank you for your show. I am interested in becoming an astronaut. How likely would it be for a young black female to be an astronaut? I am 10 years old and very interested, and I would like to know how old Miles was when he decided to become a chemical engineer. This comes from Jessica in Augusta.
Hi, Jessica. So I guess I'll start with the latter part of your question there. I decided, officially on chemical engineering in my freshman year of college. So that's not even 2 years ago right now. Before that, I was between chemical and biomedical engineering. That was as I filled out applications to different universities. And they ask, you know, what are your first and second choice majors? And so that's generally what I put, either chemical or biomedical engineering. In terms of being an astronaut, my dad can probably speak more to this with his experience in astronautics and working with the International Space Station as well as the Space Shuttle program. But one thing I do know is that the system would tend to favor those with prior experience in either researching or applying in some way science and engineering or medical knowledge, be it in industry or in specialized research programs at various universities. And then another thing that I think is very important in terms of your viability as a future astronaut is your physical health, your ability to take care of your body. I think recently I saw a news headline that said that NASA or Johnson Space Center or somebody was accepting applications from just a broad number of young people that were considering becoming astronauts. But one thing that would very quickly narrow those numbers down is your physical health. And so right now, Jessica, you're young, you're 10 years old, you have the ability to make good health decisions, good choices, and of course aim to limit your potential for injuries and those sort of things, and that way you can be mentally sharp and capable as well as physically for the job.
So I'll just pick up on the back end of Miles. I'm sorry, go ahead, Ms. Don.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I was just going to make a comment on, I am so excited that so many young people are actually listening and they are responding. So I think that's wonderful, but go right ahead.
Okay, sure. Sure. So Miles definitely hit on a couple of the criteria, and you know, becoming an astronaut is it's a goal. It's not just a short-term goal, but a long-term goal. And certainly at your age, you are you're thinking in the right direction. And it is very possible for an African American to become an astronaut. The program, the space program in general, has diverted since the days of Obama. There has been a push to privatize the industry. What that means is NASA no longer is producing or manufacturing their own space vehicles, and they have opened up the access to space that is NASA to other companies like Boeing, the company I work for, Orbital Sciences, there's SpaceX, and the list goes on. So what that means is as these companies become more savvy in their ability to transport crew members to space, there will be the need for more crew members or astronauts to go to space. And so certainly your physical fitness will have an impact on your ability to go to space, to become an astronaut. Generally, a STEM career, a bachelor's degree in, from a college, and a STEM career is a prerequisite. Generally, it's not the only prerequisite, but generally, because we know the teachers have gone to space, but in general, a bachelor's degree, and then they generally ask for a master's degree, and one of those degrees needs to be in STEM. So it's not the bachelor's degree, it would need to be the master's degree. Military is also another way to access the astronaut corps, and having a military background, especially pilots. We see a lot of pilots who are astronauts. They are used to a very rigorous schedule. They're used to spacecraft, although, or I should say used to aircraft. Spacecraft are different. But nonetheless, they have the discipline to, you know, to stick with the set of circumstances. And so many times, you know, missions don't go as planned. And there has to be individuals who are resilient and have the ability to adapt on the fly to changing circumstances. As they see the data changing, they have to be able to additionally, they have to know how to communicate. These astronauts rely strictly, well, I shouldn't say strictly, they have a lot of training, but they do rely, once they get in their mission, they rely heavily upon the information that's communicated to them via computer, you know, computer data, computer emails, but also they get live interaction with their CAPCOM right at the Space Center. in Johnson Space Center in Houston. And so they have to have the ability to communicate, to know what it means to listen. They obviously have to undergo psychological evaluations to determine their mental fitness. And so if I just could put a plug in for Miss Donna Speaks and her etiquette, knowing how to interact, having a good attitude, being courteous and yet professional, and direct, so that others understand what is urgent and what you need, is very important. So there's just so many aspects. I can't, unfortunately, uncover them now when it comes to etiquette and communication, but communication is a big one. So I encourage you, if you are really, really interested in becoming an astronaut, visit NASA's website on becoming an astronaut. Look at the application qualifications. They spell them out right there for you. And so at this point, it's going to be a goal for you, because you have yet to even go to college. But if you want this to be your long-term goal or medium-term goal, then, I said on the last show, it starts right now, and that every day you're in school, focusing on the teacher is very important. Understanding your math and doing it with diligence is important. Utilizing computer resources, Google, and finding out what astronauts do and what it takes to become an astronaut is important. YouTube, learning how to do additional work on YouTube, learning how to do advanced work on YouTube. So you may just be an eighth grader, but you can get an algebra book now and start going through algebra. You can look at YouTube or get a book on physics and start going through physics and making it fun. You can get experiments to do at home. And so these are the little markers along the way, the little milestones along the way that keep your interest building. And hopefully you will be able to share that with your teacher and perhaps enter science fairs and just demonstrate those scholastic subjects that you excel in, and that will get some notoriety for you and also build up your confidence. So it starts today, doing your best with your grades in math, in science, in English, reading, comprehension. All of these things are prerequisites. And so if you didn't do anything else but just focus on doing your best today in school, you'll be well on your way.
Wow, thank you for that. And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're talking mechanical engineer Kurt Chapman and his son, a chemical engineering student, Miles Chapman, having a wonderful conversation, and you guys are sharing some wonderful information. Thank you so much for that. We're going to take one more quick break, and we're going to address another email, and we'll get ready to wrap up. So once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. In case you just joined in, no worries. You'll have an opportunity to go back and to listen to the show in its entirety. So we will be right back in just a moment.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease, a disease that affects one in every seven Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800. 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously. Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners is an extraordinary one-stop shop for all of your dry cleaning needs. In addition to clothing, drapes, comforters, and alteration services, we also provide tablecloth and napkin cleaning for corporate clients, including restaurants, hotels, and event centers. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners has a family-friendly atmosphere and quality customer service. We are so serious about taking care of our customers that if you can't come to us, we can come to you with our convenient pickup and delivery service. We offer same-day services, discounts on all prepaid orders, will notify you electronically when your order is ready, and we also provide statements and receipts. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners is located 822 Hambrick Road, Suite A, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083. Call 404-748-1602. 404-748-1602. Our goal is your complete satisfaction. DNA Professional Dry Cleaner.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894. Or email your questions or comments to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back. And again, just in case you are just joining us or perhaps joined us a little late, no worries. You'll be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. We're having a wonderful conversation. And I want to go ahead and make sure I get in this email. It says, Ms. Donna, I commend Miles for advising the youth to be concerned about their physical health. Great. Comes from Dr. Myers in Atlanta. So definitely wanted to commend you on that, Miles. So that's wonderful. Here's one that also says, thank you, Ms. Donna, for your show. And this gives us something to listen to other than the depressing news about the coronavirus. How old was Kurt when he decided that he wanted to be an engineer? This comes from Mark in D.C.
Certainly, Mark. So my family, my parents did not have a four-year college education, but yet my mom did have a two-year vocational degree. And my mom and dad were both determined that their children, which I am the youngest of four, we're going to go to college. And so I had the luxury of being the youngest to see my older siblings already doing various things. My oldest brother decided he wanted to major in communications, and then my sister social work, and then my brother, who is 1 year older than I am, majored in electrical engineering. And so with my dad also doing mechanic automobile repair work on the side, I had the opportunity to see how engines work and to, feed off of my brother, who was just 1 year older than I am, see his interest in engineering. And he today is an electrical engineer. So to make a long story short, and to answer the question, I would have to say I was about 12 years old when this all came to me that, hey, I believe I can be an engineer. And I was also fortunate, as I mentioned earlier, to attend a pre-engineering program that was designed for high school students in Indianapolis, Indiana, called MEAP, the Minority Engineering Advancement Program. These programs are geared toward minorities, but they are not exclusive. There are other, ethnicities that apply, and also Caucasian. So they're open to all. But they really do enhance one's interest, I feel, in engineering. And so when I first joined that program as an graduating eighth grader, I realized that, wow, this is really special. I remember that very summer we built a computer, and computers in that day, this is of course in the 80s, telling on myself age-wise, they were not what they are today, but still, you know, a computer is just a machine that can help us do work faster. It can perform calculations faster than we can. But we built one there. We were fortunate. The funding was such that everyone could have one of these little computers, and they had wires that you had to wire certain circuits together with as well. So I was preteen when I realized I wanted to become an engineer, and it only became sweeter after that as I could find myself in the mix of academia as well as professional engineers.
Wow. Well, listen, thank you all again for sharing this evening. Thank you all for sending in your email and your questions. Certainly appreciate it. We are at the conclusion of our show. This has been such a delightful conversation. And again, audience, just in case you joined us late, no worries. Go back and you'll be able to listen to the show in its entirety. And you'll certainly want to go back and listen. There was a lot of advice given and some great information about summer programs. So please do go back and listen. And be sure to invite some of your friends to listen. This has been just great experience, great information. Certainly do appreciate it. And we appreciate you all for supporting our show each time that we're on. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We thank you for that. And, of course, our loyal listeners, we're always very grateful that you tune in to us each week. We're so happy about that. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have a topic that you would like to hear us cover in the future, be sure to let us know. We'll be more than happy to try to make that happen, okay? We invite you, as always, to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, the goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. It just happens to be one of my favorites. Proverbs, and certainly like for you to do, I want you to feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and just be the best you can be, okay? Feel good about yourself, be considerate of others. That's good manners, okay? Be the best you can be. Again, thank you so much, and let me thank Miles again and Kurt. Thank you so much for joining us again. We certainly do appreciate it, okay?
You're welcome. And my pleasure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, it was definitely a pleasure.
And I know how busy you are, and the best to you. I'm sure, audience, this won't be the last time we will hear from them. I'm sure we'll have them back on this show. They've just really shared a lot of wonderful information. I certainly do appreciate it. Well, again, thank you all for tuning in to the show. We will certainly, we'll talk again next week. In fact, we may have a show. I know in the news it's been the coronavirus, so we're going to talk about that and give you guys a chance to just kind of talk about what's on your mind when it comes to this, okay? But be encouraged, okay? So good night. Take care. God bless.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.